Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Things We Never Say is a literary novel by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Elizabeth Strout, presented as a standalone work centered on Artie Dam, a long-serving high school history teacher in Massachusetts. Artie appears settled. He teaches adolescents, attends social gatherings with his wife of three decades, speaks politely with neighbors, and spends weekends sailing on Massachusetts Bay. Beneath that ordinary surface, however, he carries a severe private loneliness and a sense that even intimate relationships leave much unknown. The novel follows the disturbance created when Artie discovers a secret that forces him to reconsider his marriage, friendships, parenthood, and understanding of himself. In keeping with Strout's established fiction, the book does not rely on sensational plotting or formal instruction. Its purpose is to examine the hidden pressures within everyday life, especially grief, emotional isolation, moral hesitation, and the difficult possibility of beginning again after long silence. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Artie Dam's public usefulness contrasts with his private isolation. Artie Dam is defined by a tension between outward competence and inward estrangement. His work as a history teacher places him in a role of guidance, judgment, and daily moral contact with young people. He corrects casual cruelty, encourages students, and seems to occupy a meaningful place in the social order. Outside school, he participates in the expected rhythms of married and neighborhood life. These details matter because Strout builds the novel around the gap between social visibility and emotional concealment. Artie is not absent from life in any obvious way. He is engaged, responsible, and recognizable. Yet that recognizability becomes part of the problem, since it allows others, and perhaps Artie himself, to mistake function for intimacy. His isolation is not caused by physical solitude, but by the experience of remaining unknown while surrounded by people. This gives the novel its central emotional pressure. Strout treats loneliness not as a dramatic exception, but as something that can live inside apparently stable routines. Artie's public decency, therefore, becomes complicated rather than merely admirable, because it raises the question of whether kindness to others can coexist with a failure to disclose or understand the self. Secondly, the secret at the center of the plot tests the limits of knowing another person. The novel's title points toward its central inquiry: the most consequential truths in a life may be withheld, avoided, or never fully formed into speech. Artie begins from the unsettling question of how people can know so little about those closest to them. The discovery that life has been keeping a secret from him turns this question from an abstract worry into a lived crisis. Strout's interest is not simply in the revelation itself, but in the pressure it places on ordinary bonds. A secret changes the meaning of past conversations, gestures, and silences. It makes familiar relationships appear newly unstable. The important mechanism is retrospective revaluation. Once Artie learns what he did not know, he must revisit his assumptions about marriage, family, friendship, and personal agency. The novel suggests that intimacy is never complete possession of another person's interior life. Even long commitment can contain blind spots, evasions, and private rooms. Yet this limitation is not treated only as betrayal. It is also part of the mystery of human beings. The book asks whether love can survive not by eliminating all secrecy, but by accepting that knowledge of another person is always partial and morally demanding. Thirdly, grief is presented as a force that reverberates across decades. The Things We Never Say treats grief as more than an immediate response to loss. The publisher descriptions emphasize the way grief reverberates through decades, and this idea fits the novel's broader attention to delayed emotional consequences. Strout is interested in how earlier pain can persist inside habits, marriages, parenting, and self-protective silence. Grief in this framework is not only remembered, it reorganizes a person's sense of possibility. It may narrow what can be said, harden certain reactions, or make ordinary acts of affection feel risky. This gives the novel a temporal depth beyond the present crisis. Artie's confrontation with hidden truth is also a confrontation with accumulated emotional history, including losses that have not been fully acknowledged or integrated. The significance of grief here lies in its quiet durability. Rather than presenting sorrow as a single dramatic event, Strout examines how it becomes part of personality and relationship. This approach allows the novel to connect private sadness with ethical responsibility. If people are shaped by old grief, then understanding them requires more than judging their visible behavior. It requires attention to the losses that may have made silence seem necessary. Fourthly, friendship and community offer limited but real forms of repair. Although the novel is strongly concerned with isolation, it is not a portrait of isolation alone. Artie's life includes students, neighbors, a long marriage, and deep friendships, and these relationships provide the social texture through which his crisis becomes meaningful. Strout often writes about communities where people are deeply aware of one another in some ways and deeply ignorant in others. That paradox appears central here. Community does not automatically solve loneliness, because social contact can remain superficial or governed by habit. Yet it creates opportunities for recognition, kindness, and revision. Artie's role as a teacher is especially important because it links personal vulnerability with public responsibility. He helps young people navigate cruelty and uncertainty, even while he is uncertain within himself. This does not make him hypocritical. It makes him human in the Straussian sense, capable of offering care without having mastered his own life. Friendship functions similarly. It provides comfort, not through grand solutions, but through steadiness, attention, and the possibility of being met without complete explanation. The novel, therefore, treats repair as modest and relational. A person may not be fully knowable or fully healed, but connection can still interrupt despair and make a new course imaginable. Lastly, Strout's understated style turns ordinary details into moral evidence. The book's power depends on Strout's restrained, character-driven method. The available descriptions emphasize exquisite prose, profound insight, and attention to the small particulars of ordinary life, such as Artie's sailing, school routines, social obligations, and domestic irritations. These details are not decorative, they are the evidence through which character is revealed. In Strout's fiction, moral and emotional meaning often appears through slight gestures, repeated habits, and the phrases people avoid. This makes the novel different from plot-centered domestic suspense, even though it contains a disruptive secret. The emphasis remains on perception, how people interpret one another, how they misread signs, and how they carry shame or longing into mundane exchanges. The understated style also affects pacing. Readers seeking fast revelations or explicit guidance may find the novel deliberately quiet, because its central movement is inward rather than procedural. That quietness is part of its literary purpose. Strout asks readers to slow down enough to notice the emotional density of common situations. The ordinary becomes morally charged because it is where people either conceal themselves, wound one another, or offer small acts of grace. In conclusion, The Things We Never Say is best suited for readers of literary fiction who value close psychological observation, emotionally complex, ordinary characters, and novels about marriage, friendship, grief, and late-life self-reckoning. It will especially appeal to readers familiar with Elizabeth Strout's earlier work, since it continues her long interest in people who appear socially unremarkable but carry intense private histories. The book's benefits are intellectual rather than instructional. It sharpens attention to the gap between what people display and what they endure, and it encourages a more patient understanding of silence, loneliness, and imperfect love. Readers looking for a self-help framework, a fast-moving thriller, or a plot built around frequent twists may find its method too restrained. Its distinction within contemporary literary fiction lies in the combination of moral seriousness and plainspoken intimacy. Many novels address family secrets or marital uncertainty, but Strout's approach is less concerned with revelation as spectacle than with what revelation does to memory, responsibility, and compassion. The novel stands out because it makes a single man's hidden loneliness feel socially and emotionally representative without turning him into a symbol. It treats ordinary life as a place where grief, decency, fear, and renewal coexist in unresolved but recognizable ways. If you would like to support Elizabeth Strout, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.